Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. You know what? Let's just take a minute and everybody lift your hands to heaven. Say, thank you, Jesus, for my mama. Say it like that. Say, mama. Lord, we're thankful for every special lady, every special woman in our lives today. We honor and celebrate them. And God, we just pray extra grace, peace, and joy in every woman's heart this morning. God, we ask you to just bless this word. Lord, let the word come alive and do its work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, it's always so good to be here. I always love to come and get to stand here on days like this. I actually got my breakfast in bed this past Friday. Brennan, my little chef son, he's 10. I woke up a lot earlier than him, and he came out of his room that morning, and he said, I'm so sorry. I wanted to make you breakfast in bed. So I was like, hold on, and I jumped right back in bed. And as I smelled things burning, I just, you know, patiently waited. It was good. Then our daughter, she's 8, she declared that she was going to take me to get Mexican, and she was going to pay for it, and she was going to order it, and she sure did all of that. I could not get a word in. She was like, we'll have queso, and we're going to split this meal, and you're going to drink this, and then we got a pedicure. So Friday was good, and I thank you for making that happen. I'm pretty sure I saw Daddy slip her a little green before we left the room there. But happy Mother's Day to all of you ladies online or here with us in person. If you're sitting next to any woman in this room, just nudge them, say, you're priceless. You're priceless because you are. And then I just want you to relax, take a deep breath. There's no cooking or cleaning to be done right now. And if you have to cook today, you go through that drive-thru somewhere. It's okay. Do it today. No dishes. But the word that the Lord's laid on my heart, it's not just for moms. It's for everyone because we're going to talk about faith today. And I'll be honest with you, when Pastor Derek came up here after worship and starting speaking against discouragement and doubt, the Lord has already started this work. So the ground has already been prepared for these words. So I believe that God has something very special and unique to do in all of our hearts today, specifically in reference to faith. Everybody say faith. Yes, so do it, Holy Spirit. You know, we are not living in easy times. Would you agree? It's not Leave It to Beaver times anymore. You remember that show? It's more like Mortal Kombat, which I actually don't know what that, I meant to Google that before I came up here, but it sounds good. It sounds like some of the world that we're living in today because our faith is under attack. Our faith's under attack, and some of it's just blatant in your face. And then some of it's a little more subtle, more crafty warfare. But either way, this is not a surprise to us. Look at somebody say, I'm not shocked. Yeah. We know that as the return of Christ draws closer, that the world will get darker. But we also have this promise that heaven is our eternal home. And how many of you believe that one day Jesus will come for his bride and take us home? Amen? Amen? And see, that's just one very significant promise that we are believing and holding on to among many other things today that you're trusting God for, believing God for, hoping for. And the bedrock of all of that is that word we just said a second ago. It's faith. Say it again. Say faith. Faith is foundational for our salvation. By faith, you were saved. By faith, you believe. By faith, we live for the Most High God. Faith is fundamental. It's like basketball. How many of you ever played basketball? There are just some fundamentals with a basketball player that are necessary to be a good player, like dribbling the ball, shooting, and passing. Well, faith is fundamental just like that to every believer. Not just for your salvation, by faith I believe, but now by faith I live. By faith I live, and that's why we find our faith under attack very often. contending to keep our hope alive in the midst of difficult situations. Now, Satan, who is our enemy, he's after our faith and hope. He wants to take away our ability to see past this moment, to dream big dreams, to believe for greater things. And God really does have, as Pastor Derek just said about 15 minutes ago, greater things in store for you. And the enemy's coming to steal those seeds of faith. And one of our weapons of warfare, our spiritual armor, is the shield of what? Faith. And I'm so glad that they used a shield as the weapon for faith, really, because shields have two purposes. It's to defend, but then it's also to advance. So when you think about defense, you know, we're familiar with that. No matter what's coming at me, if I have my shield of faith in place, every arrow, every lie, every attack, everything that the enemy tries to send my way, my shield will protect me from that. The attack is here, I am here, and my faith is firmly planted right here. So no matter what it comes, you know, we've all seen, well, maybe you haven't, but you've heard of Captain America and his, you know, shield that it can do anything. It can handle a nuclear bomb. Well, your shield of faith is that strong. It can handle and it can protect and defend you. Faith is important because it protects you, but it's also something we use to advance. So when the Roman soldiers had all of their armor on and they would want to move forward safely, what would they do? They would lift up and unite their shields and they would advance forward. And they would, because we have a shield of faith, we can lift that thing up and we can start to move forward and advance to new places and into greater things, and we can take new ground. How many of you just want to live like you are for the rest of your life? How many of you think that's God's best for you? So the shield of faith will help us advance forward into new things. Somebody say, there is more for me. Now think about that. That's true. There is more for you. So all of that really is just to lay some groundwork for where we're headed today on this whole concept of faith. Because faith is important. We all know this scripture, Hebrews 11:6, tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. How many of you want to live lives that please God? Yes, let's raise our hands. We've just got a sea of hands. Yes. Therefore, we must have lives filled with faith. And everyone in this room, you do have faith right now. You do. Some of you, you might feel like you are full. You are exploding with faith today. Some of you may feel like your faith is on life support today. And then some of you may find yourself somewhere in the middle. Kind of like this. I believe God loves me. I just don't think he really wants a personal relationship with me. Or I believe God is a healer. I believe he's a healer. I don't think he's into healing this sort of thing. Or I believe God has a purpose for my life. I just think maybe someone else would be better at that. He didn't really call me to that. Or I believe God can. But will he is the question. See, we have these great faith statements. I believe, but. Now, why do we do that? Do we leave that there at the end just to give God a chance to leave room for him to fail and it be okay? Now, I'm going to tell you now, spoiler alert, God will not fail. God does not make mistakes, and God keeps his promises. So if you find yourself in that place today where you're in some doubt and uncertainty or disbelief, today the Holy Spirit has already been and is now inviting you even further to come out of agreement with that stuff. Come out of agreement. I don't say but anymore. I say God can and God will. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. So Jesus had a situation we're going to read about with his disciples. Jesus had a lot of situations, didn't he? A lot of things to deal with and teach. But this one in particular, he's addressing kind of this on the fence faith. How many of you have seen lots of birds this spring? They're just beautiful. They're singing. A lot of them sit on the fence, and it's just cute. But faith on a fence is not cute. Faith on the fence is alarming. And it can become very dangerous because it's teetering. Do I believe? Do I not? So Jesus, he's addressing this here in Matthew 17, starting with verse 14. It says, And when they, talking about Jesus and the disciples, had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now, I want to stop right there and just take a moment and say, aren't we thankful for parents who don't take no for an answer? Aren't we grateful for parents who are determined to get their children to the help that that child needs? That boy would not and could not have gotten himself to Jesus. The parent brought him. The parent brought him. Enough said there? No, let's talk about it a little longer. Mom and dad, get your kids to Jesus. Get them to Jesus and keep bringing them to Jesus. Do not be satisfied with just a little bit of church here and there. That's not going to cut it. Don't be satisfied with passing down a heritage of religion like church is a checklist. No, they need Jesus. Now you may say, well, you don't know my kids. They're crazy. Well, so was this man's son. This man's son was falling into fire and water and having episodes and seizures. And nothing was fixing it until he was brought to who? Jesus. Thank you, God, for parents who don't quit or give up. They need us. They will need us the rest of their lives. And if you can't get your child into church right now, you can bring them before the throne of God in prayer. You can bring them to Jesus. Maybe not in the physical realm right now, but that'll happen. Start pushing in the spirit. Amen? Now we will move on. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, let's just take a moment and remember. Didn't Jesus say that there would be certain signs that follow them that believe? Okay? And the very first item on that list that Jesus gave us was, in my name they will cast out demons. In his name, who will cast out demons? His followers, them that believe. So that's you. That's me. So we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds and active in our spirits because, guys, demons are still around. And they're getting bolder and they're getting more forward, and it's time for believers to rise up in faith and take authority over that darkness in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, verse 19, and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. That's the opposite of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will move this mountain from here to there, and it will move. You will say to the mountain, move, and it will move. And nothing, everybody say nothing, will be impossible for you. Let's stop here for a moment. It's interesting that Jesus used a seed to compare faith to. He was letting his disciples know in that moment, and consequently us thousands of years later, that even the smallest measure of faith, faith that appears weak or insignificant to us, can still accomplish the impossible. Whew. Told you, sit back, relax. You know, when I read this story, I wonder if there was a mountain or mountains surrounding them as they were talking, as Jesus was teaching. He would often take his surroundings and work it into the lessons. He was a good teacher. But we know, as they knew then, he's not talking about physical land mountains, was he? He's talking figuratively about obstacles and hindrances and these insurmountable problems that we will face. And he was saying, none of these things are impossible for God to deal with through people of faith. Somebody say faith. And he used probably the smallest seed he had to make that point. I don't know if we've got, do we have that picture of the seed and the penny? Okay. So just for visual sake, I like pictures and visual. So here's how tiny this seed is. It's not the smallest of all seeds, but it's in close contention for that title. A typical mustard seed is about 2 millimeters in size. And that tiny little seed is what Jesus chose to tell us, to teach us what faith, what it takes to move a mountain. It doesn't take much, does it? Now, from this tiny little seed that you see here, a 20-foot high and wide mustard tree can grow. And I believe we've got a picture of that too. It's fully developed mustard tree. That's what this looks like. It's enormous compared to where it started. Now, how does that tiny little seed grow into this magnificent tree? Everybody say time and care. We all know any seed that we plant into the ground, it's going to take time to grow and care to not just survive, but to thrive. Now, how many of us in here would consider ourselves to be very patient when it comes to things we want? Raise your hand if you are like, I am patient. Okay, you can get up and leave because this isn't for you. You can't. Now, this may not be true for everyone across the board, but for the most part, I think it's fair to say that with each generation coming up, each generation gets a little more and a little more impatient. Is that fair? Would you agree? You know, the speed of life is getting faster. We're able to get the things we need and we want just faster and faster. When I think about comparing generations, I think back to my grandmother, and what I remember about her, one trait specifically, is she was so patient. She would stand there and peel 2,000 potatoes by hand to feed her family every week. Probably not 2,000, but it was a lot of potatoes. I don't have the patience to do that these days. I saw her just, she was never in a hurry, never pushing, never rushing. She was patient. And then another word I would use to describe her was she was perseverant. You know, she lived through the Depression and she lived through hard times and even into her later years. You know, there was never talk of quitting. This is too hard. I can't make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to give up. Those words were just never part of her vocabulary. She was patient. She was perseverant. She was willing to endure. And then I would also say she was a woman of great faith. And then I look at her daughter, my mother, and I see patience, endurance, and great faith. And then I look in the mirror, and I see a work in progress. I'm not going to put myself in that category yet, but I do see roots and some fruit of patience, of endurance, and of faith. And then I look at my daughter, and I see a wild thing, a beautiful wild thing, with a tender heart, with just the soil of her soul open and ready to receive whatever will be given to her. And I understand that she'll receive the most from her father and myself. She will, the health and the progress of our faith has a direct impact on the health and the progress of her faith. Everybody say time and care. We all have seeds in this room, things that we are believing God for. Some of us are believing for a miracle of restoration, a miracle in a relationship. Some are believing for physical healings. Some are believing for breakthroughs with your income, with your job, with your career. Some have big dreams that have yet to be fulfilled. Just because you haven't seen it yet doesn't mean it's over. See, there are some things that are just still in that seed stage, and they haven't blossomed yet into that big, strong tree, but that doesn't mean that they won't come to pass. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things I don't have yet, the evidence of things I don't see yet. And so that healing or that relationship or that breakthrough is still very possible by faith, even faith the size of a mustard seed. Like most plants, the growth of a mustard tree depends on its environment. And you know what I like this about it? It has water-seeking roots, so they're going to search out that water, which means this tree can survive in extremely hot and dry soil. Has anyone felt the fire in your faith lately? Has your faith been tested? Has the heat been turned up a little bit? I have felt it. That's okay. Doesn't mean something's wrong. Your faith is built to endure that. Remember, it takes time and care. So the time part, that's not up to you, and that's not up to me. The timing is in God's hands. We cannot control that. I cannot take a seed and say, grow right now. Do it. I'm watching. I'm waiting now. That's silly. That's not going to work. So the timing is not our responsibility, but the care part, that is our responsibility. Seeds need cared for to grow properly. So many of you know Jeff Rankoff. Give him a wave, Jeff. Yes, there he is. He and his lovely wife have been teachers at the academy this year. And this spring, refer you as Mr. Jeff because that's how we refer to you at the academy. He took our youngest students through the process of planting a sunflower seed and then caring for it and watching it grow. And through this process, something became very, very clear to me. That the sunflower seed that Mr. Jeff planted and cared for and took care of, it grew strong and brilliant and tall and bright. And the sunflower seed that Pastor Melissa was supposed to take care of, this is what it looked like today. We have that picture? This is what it looked, nope, that's not it. It's supposed to be, that's funny though. Do they have that picture? Do you have a picture of a beautiful sunflower plant? No? There's another one. We don't have it. Okay. Well, then I can describe it. Let's just say my sunflower plant, or Madeline's, is hanging on by a thread. There's no yellow, beautiful petals. It's just this kind of brown. It really hasn't gotten past this height in about 2 or 3 months. So, okay. It's hanging on by a thread. It's the same plant, and it was the same seed, but different care. You see where we're going with this? So time and care matter. So how can we care for these seeds of faith that have been planted and birthed inside of us? I want to give you a few things very quickly. Number one, I care for my seeds of faith with my prayers. Everybody say, I care with prayer. I care enough to get off of the couch, get on my knees, and begin to pray over my children. I care enough to turn off all of the distractions and set aside time to get into that place of prayer for my future, for the calling that God has on my life, about my dream, whatever, my dream job, whatever those seeds of faith in you for my healing. I'm not just going to wait. I'm going to pray. I will care for those seeds with prayer. You know, we have to take ownership of our seeds. These are your seeds. They're not mine. Your seeds are your seeds. And I cannot get mad at or get jealous of Mr. Jeff for having a better plant than me. He took the time to care for his seeds. And now he has a beautiful plant. And mine, its best days are behind it. Its best days are when it was here and before I took it home. So number one, I care with prayer. And number two, I water my seeds with the word and I soak them in the sun. S-O-N. S-O-N. Jesus is the word. The word became flesh. And I'll tell you right now, most plants that thrive without the sun are fungus. We need to soak our seeds with the sun, with the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God, Romans 10, 17. Stay in the word, declaring it over those seeds. It's not my word, it's his. So I care with prayer. I water with the word. Number three, I pull out the weeds. How many of you enjoy pulling weeds? Honey, you said it's terrible. Okay. We're going to do some weed pulling this week. You will not be able to wear those white pants. I love my husband. I love you. I love you. And I'm grateful for you. And I won't go into that more because then I'll cry. But I'm thankful for the man that God has blessed me with. And he doesn't pull out weeds, but he does a lot more. Yeah, let's put our hands together for Pastor Derek. Pastor Derek, we love you. All right, so pulling out weeds. This is not fun. It is never convenient, but those weeds will come in and choke out those plants that are trying to grow. What are our weeds? They're weeds of doubt. So like in that moment we just had after worship, with doubts beginning to creep in, if you recognize I'm not believing or hoping like I was, that's the moment in the presence of God to say, Lord, take it. God, get this out of me. I recognize this is coming in. Weeds of frustration. Where's your joy? I'm just frustrated. Things aren't happening the way I thought they would. This is taking longer. Pull that out. That's going to stunt your faith. Weeds of resentment, bitterness, anger. We can't just sit there and say, well, I hope those weeds don't spread. Because again, I can testify about that. Weeds spread. You see one, hold on, there's more coming. So we've got to pull those things out. We seek wise counsel. Talk to somebody. Get out your gardening gloves and start to work. Care for the seed because you care about the outcome. I care for the promise, the breakthrough. You care about your calling, about your destiny in Christ. Care for the seed and endure. Let's loop back to the story of when Jesus was telling the disciples why they couldn't cast out the demon. Jesus addressed their faith, and then he added this, that this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and what? Fasting. So number four, how do we care for our seeds of faith? Fast. Choose to empty yourself of being full of food every now and then, and you will find yourself more full of faith and power than you've ever experienced. Fasting is a powerful way to build your faith. The timing is up to God, but let's take care of those seeds that we have in us. How many of you believe and agree this is our year to rise? Okay, how many of you want your faith to rise? You know, let's keep with our seed analogy a little longer. If I see something that's growing, that I've planted and it's growing, and I get excited, and I'm like, I'm going to make this thing rise. And I just grab it and yank it out of the ground. Look, it has risen. It's bigger and higher than it was before. But it's also now going to die, right? We will not rise by speeding things up, by rushing God, by rushing his plans in our lives. How will we rise? By growth, by growing. He knows the timing. And I'll tell you what, God is actually too good to do that to you, to just yank you up so you can have what you want, get that breakthrough and things work out. He knows the timing. He knows. He's already in that future. He's already in that moment. Rest in that. Trust him with the timing. The way we will grow by, the way we will rise is by growing. Now, our son, he is getting so tall. I really think he's grown over 2.5 inches since January. And he wants to be taller than his daddy. And he may be. But he will not stretch his way, talk his way, or buy his way into rising. He's going to have to be patient and take care of himself, right? And then he will rise and he will grow in the right way. Church, listen. We've got to stay firmly planted where God has positioned us with the faith and the promises that he has spoken. Do not uproot things because we're in a hurry or it doesn't look like we think it should. We're going to grow faster and rise faster in the right environments. And I will be honest with you. Sometimes the right environments feel like the wrong things. Yeah. I mean, we could just ask Joseph about that. Let's, in Genesis, you want to talk about patience and perseverance? This young man at 17, God showed him his future in a dream. Just great seeds of faith planted in his heart about what God had for him. And then within a year of those dreams, he was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery. And he was then betrayed and lied about and thrown into prison. How many of you have been down that kind of road? Nobody. Okay, good. He was betrayed. He was forgotten. He was despised. He was rejected. Quite honestly, he had every reason to doubt and give up on that dream. Nothing about his life, really, for the next 20 years, resembled what God had put in his heart that he would do. Now, this is speaking to someone right now. It looked like he was in the actual opposite of the places where God wanted him. But he was exactly where God wanted him. Because every stage was preparing him for his destiny. Every hardship, every temptation, every struggle, Joseph could have thrown a pity party for himself. And we would have said, we understand. This is rough. But instead, the Bible says that he was excellent in all he did. He was humble. And it says the Lord was with him. And that's a sermon right in its own. Over and over, the Lord was with him. And finally, after 20 years, that's 7,300 mornings, waking up not where you think you're supposed to be, but after 20 years at the exact right time, at the exact right moment, and one day, Joseph went from prison to the palace. And this was not just a tour of the palace. He moved in. He became the second leading ruler in Egypt. He was given the right to use Pharaoh's chariot. That's like the president's private jet. He was given the gold ring. That's authority and power, fine clothes and jewelry. And his promise was fulfilled at the right time. At the right time. And you may feel like today that things are, it's taking forever for some of your answers to come. You can go ahead, Justin. You may feel like the dreams are dead and the hopes are gone for forever. Hold on. Today, the Lord has just arranged the service to remind you and lift you out of that pit of doubt and unbelief. There's still life in those seeds. If you're still breathing, then you better keep believing, because God's not finished yet. God's not finished yet. You look and we go back one more time to that story with the father and the boy. And if you look at it in Mark 9, you'll see that Jesus, before the miracle happened for that family, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And in that moment, immediately the father cried out, the Bible says, with tears in his eyes, and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. As he stood before the miracle worker, the one who had his breakthrough, he realized in that moment, I've got unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. And I have been there in those moments where I believe, but I've got some unbelief. So I don't just try to fit. I love that he cried out to Jesus, help my unbelief. I can't fix this, Jesus. I come to you. Help my unbelief. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, help my unbelief. There are things God has put in my heart years ago that I've seen some of those things, praise God, he's made happen. Things that I couldn't do in my own strength and power, the Lord's done it. But there are still seeds of faith inside that I have yet to see. I have yet to see those promises fulfilled. I've got seeds of faith in my... Does anybody have seeds of faith in your heart this morning? I hope so. I hope so. And I'm going to tell you this. When you leave this sanctuary today, Tanya, you can go ahead and put that other picture up now. You're going to receive a packet of seeds just like this. That packet of seeds. And these are real seeds in here. They are not mustard seeds. They're wildflower seeds, so be careful where you spread them. But on this packet, it's got a place to write the date, the name of the seed, and any notes you may want to add. Now, this is my challenge. This is the purpose that we're putting this in your hands today. The date is 5/14/23. And the name of these seeds, faith. Seeds of faith. And in the notes section, whatever the Holy Spirit's been stirring up in you, maybe breathing new life in today, I want you to write those things down in the next 24 hours. Don't wait. Write those things down on here and name them. And then place this in a place where you will see it every day. Don't throw it in the back of the van and say, hope that something happens with those seeds, Faith. But put it in a place where you can see it, where you can pray over it, where you can water it with the word, soak it in the sun, even fast a meal. Believing and caring for those seeds. Don't just care about them, care for them. Come on, church, we are mighty. God has given us faith for this season. You have the faith that you need. Let's activate that faith. Let's not go through another year of just hoping, but let's step into believing with faith and watch. I believe we will see what starts as a tiny seed grow into a mighty tree of strength. I've got one more verse to share with you. But before I read this, I know in my spirit the Lord laid this scripture to share with you. And there are people in here, and I know that even specifically, there are some women who have been praying and believing and sowing those seeds of faith like we've been talking about for a long time. And it has not been easy. It's been, in fact, some of the hardest things that you've had to walk through. Praying and waiting and believing and holding on to hope and praying and waiting and believing and holding on to hope. And if that's you this morning, if that's you, whether you're a man or a woman, a father, a husband, a mother, a wife, a daughter, whatever, this is the word of the Lord to you. Are you ready? Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for the sowing, shall doubtless, everybody say doubtless, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's increase. Your seeds, the Lord is saying, your seeds will turn to sheaves. Your tears and your brokenness that have accompanied your prayers and your seeds of faith, they're not only going to bring you a spiritual harvest, but you're going to leave with a spirit of rejoicing. Hallelujah. God, you're even moving right now. And you know, when you feel like you're breaking, just remember this. The ground has to be broken before the seed can be planted. And let's take it one step further, shall we? A seed actually has to die before life can shoot out of it. Don't get discouraged when it looks like the promise is dead. Don't get discouraged and quit believing when it seems like everything you've hoped for is just fading away. A seed planted, in order for life to grow from it, it must die. And then the life breaks free from the seed and sprouts into something new, and it leaves behind the shell that once contained it. And I just declare this today, your tears and your prayers have not been in vain, grandmother, grandfather. Your tears and your prayers, mom and dad, brothers and sisters, have not been in vain. Don't stop. Don't stop. Somebody shout, I will have my harvest. Come on, say it like you have faith. I will have my harvest. I will take the time and I will care for my seeds. Come on, let's lift those hands and pray together. God, we are people of faith. We are so thankful for what you have done. Lord, if you never do another thing, you're worthy of our praise. But God, right now, we know in this house there are seeds of faith and promises that you have yet to fulfill, that have yet to grow. And God, we don't want to quit on those things. We don't want to give up on those promises and those dreams. We don't want to mishandle them, God, for ourselves or for our children or for those around us. We are people of faith. So God, help us be patient. Somebody pray that. Help me be patient. Help me wait on you. Help me be willing to endure. Help me persevere, God. And help us remember that the seeds of faith that we are each growing, this is what will be passed down to our generations. This is what the next generation are going to grab. If we believe big, they will believe big. If we hold on to hope, they'll hold on to hope. And if we trust in your timing, Lord, they will trust in your timing. And then church, just take a moment and let the Holy Spirit stir up things in you. He already has been. Holy Spirit, stir up the dreams. Holy Spirit, restore vision and sight. Holy Spirit, speak again. Speak clearly and loudly right now. Revive the callings. Revive the hope. Revive the destiny inside of each of us. We are not, our best days are not behind us. They are in front of us. The yes, God, you will do greater things in our future than we have seen in the past. And God, we stand on you, that firm foundation right now, and we plant our seeds of faith. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you that tears of sorrow will turn to tears of joy. And I thank you that tears of travail will turn into tears of triumph. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and we will not quit believing that. We will not give up. What would have become of me if I had quit believing? I don't want to see it. I know, God, that you don't want to see that for any man or woman here. We will keep believing. And we're going to take a minute too. And if you need to repent of unbelief, this is the moment. What we do with our words and with our thoughts is sometimes we find ourselves coming into agreement that things are that are not the word of God for our lives. So God, for anyone who has come into agreement with unbelief and doubt and discouragement, I pray those agreements, those attachments begin to break right now in the spirit. God, we declare a spirit of faith, of freedom in your presence right now. Guys, you need to, if that's you, you need to reject that personally. Say, I come out of agreement with doubt. I come out of agreement with discouragement. I will not live in frustration. Come on, pull those weeds out while the ground is tilled. Come on, pull those weeds out while the water is flowing. God, we thank you that you can cleanse us. And Lord, we open up now. God, do the work that only you can do. Lord, give us renewed faith and renewed strength in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I believe. We believe, Father. And it is in your precious name we agree. Everybody say, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, man. I need to hear that word today. I told you before, like, I know that there's a pastor in front of my name, but I'm still a person. Sometimes I struggle to trust the timing of God. I've got faith and vision for days. Sometimes I've got patience for just a few seconds. But I will tell you something that I have learned about the Lord. It's very hard to live a supernatural life if you have a superficial faith. The disciples asked Jesus in Luke 17, they said, how can we increase our faith? Here's what's funny about people. Seems like people always focus on size. quantitative measures. But when they asked that question and Jesus began to speak to them, he made them think differently. And he said, stop worrying about the size. If you want to increase your faith, let's talk about strength. And words like today may not say, well, this is how you increase your faith in size. But these are the kind of days that this will increase your faith in strength. And you say, I will care for the things that God has entrusted me with. And then I'm going to trust God with the timing of the fruition of all those things. That I believe that God today is not trying to increase our faith in size, but he is asking us, can we believe that we can increase our faith in strength? And trust that God is working and God is moving, and we will take care of the things that he has entrusted us with. Because we want to live a supernatural life and walk in a supernatural faith in Jesus' name. So let's do this today. Will you lift your hands all over this room? And I want you to pray that prayer, and I want you to ask the Lord to increase your faith today, not in size, but in strength. And when you pray that prayer, you make the commitment to say, God, I'm going to increase my faith. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take care of the things that I can take care of. And God, I'm going to trust you with your timing. Come on, saints, let's pray that together. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you, Lord, that God, that your word never returns void. God, even today, God, we have been ground. And I pray, God, that every heart in this room has been good ground. And God, they have received, Lord, God, your word today. God, that it truly would take root in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I pray, God, that God, even in moments like these, we would commit ourselves, Lord, to saying, God, show us how to increase our faith. But God, may we forget about the size and focus on, God, that you desire to strengthen our faith. God, because that mustard seed might be small, but Lord, you said it. God, we can look to a mountain and say, moved, and it'll be uprooted and moved in Jesus' name. So Father, today, Lord, I pray, may we say yes to developing and caring for the faith that you have entrusted us with. God, the vision and the purpose and the destiny, God, you have spoken over our lives. God, may we care for it with prayer. Father, may we spend time in the word and in your presence. God, may we fast, God, and believe, God, and walk with patience and endurance, knowing, God, that we can care, but Lord, it is in your timing. So Lord, today, God, we trust you with the timing of everything you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. God, and may our faith be strengthened in this season to know, God, that we will see the harvest that you have promised. God, because you are good and you are not a man that you should lie. So Lord, we receive the word today, and may it take root and bear fruit in every part of who we are. And we give you praise, Lord, that you are a God of the process. And God, we thank you that you're just not a promise giver. You're a promise keeper. And God, if you've said it, you'll do it. Come on, take a minute and just tell him you love him. His presence is here so strong right now. Oh, I feel a spirit of encouragement just filling hearts. Hallelujah. We love you today, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you for strengthening the faith of the saints today. We thank you, God, that the best is yet to come. And we will see your promises come to fruition in your time. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're thankful, somebody give Jesus a hand clap of praise in this room today. Hallelujah. Makers Church, we love you so much. We're going to say our declaration here in a minute. Before we do, reminder just of a couple things. Today, as you're leaving, make sure you get a photo with your family. Celebrate that. Pick up one of these Hell Lost Another One shirts. Man, it's a testimony and a conversation starter all in one. And remember, every time you buy one, $5 of those dollars gets to help our kids and our students go to Makers Summer Camp. It's going to be a great time. But let's say our declaration today. We love you. We can't wait to see you next Sunday. By the way, next Sunday, I'm starting a series on the Holy Spirit. You need to be here. God's going to move in these next 2 weeks in Jesus' name. Pastor Melissa, will you lead us in our declaration today? It's right there if you don't remember
no,
it.
It.
Oh, you know it.
I am a maker.
Come on. Made by the maker to make disciples and make a difference. Hallelujah.
Happy
Makers Church, we love you.
Love you.
Be blessed.